You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Emery McClendon. Emery, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me on today. It's a pleasure and always an honor to be able to speak and talk about the current issues of the day.
Thank you very much, Emery. Now, Emery, you are a member of the Project 21 National Advisory Council, a Tea Party organizer in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and the winner of Americans for Prosperity's 2010 Activist of the Year Award. We're going to talk about this matter now that is developing as we speak. I subscribe to Project 21's email blasts, and I was notified that this actor, who I didn't know about before the news came out, Jussie Smollett, if I'm saying his name right, that all of the charges, it seems, were dropped against him, even though the evidence is there that he committed this crime. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, Emery, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are and the organization Project 21?
Yes, I am Emery McClendon, a current resident and lifelong resident, actually, of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I'm involved in several things. First of all, I have my own organization. It's called Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day, which is an annual event that we do, and also other events around the country during various times of the year where we honor our military veterans and their families and so forth through amateur radio and also through picnics and so forth and giving them a day to be honored. And I'm also an organizer and state coordinator for Tea Party Patriots, which is a Tea Party organization. And I organized the first Tea Party here in Northeast Indiana, the second largest Tea Party event in northeast part of the United States here in the Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio and so forth. So I organized that, and I continue to work with Tea Party groups all around the country and throughout Indiana, Michigan. I do a lot of speaking and so forth, and sometimes I write articles, submit op-eds, and sometimes they're accepted, and they go over pretty well. And I also am currently working with Allen County Right to Life here in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay, thank you very much, Emery, for explaining that. Are you a military veteran yourself?
Yes, I am. I am a four-year regular active 365-day troop in the United States Air Force, and then I got out, and after 3 months of being out, I rejoined the Indiana Air National Guard and did two more years and was deployed again during that two-year time. So, yes, I am a veteran.
Thank you, Emery. And of course, when you were in, when I was in the Navy, people really didn't say thank you for your service. I guess it's kind of fashionable now, you know?
Yes, it was very different when I came home. The Vietnam War was almost over. I served from 1971 to 1974, then went back in again in late 74 and stayed in until 77. So it was a little bit of an overlap there, a little over 2 years active duty in the Guard. But yes, it's definitely different, and we get so many compliments on what we do for our troops and their families for today.
Absolutely. This particular matter here with this actor, I don't watch television. I haven't watched television really since my first son was born in 1991, and I did that on purpose. I've explained this many times in interviews that I didn't think it made sense to be watching something when I should be watching my son, who's alive, a human being, and why would I pay attention to television? And of course, most people say when they hear that, they say, we didn't miss much in all those decades. So I didn't know who this fellow was because I don't watch television or go on to Netflix or any of those things. But I did follow the news and it seemed pretty clear to me and I guess to the entity that indicted him that he was guilty. Of course, you're innocent until proven guilty, but the evidence was significant. And these particular people who beat him up, they even admitted that he paid them. And then, of course, he had his great performance on the fake news media about what happened. He's a good actor, I guess. But this is kind of shocking. If you could, Emery, for the listeners, just explain what this case is all about in as much depth as you'd like, and what actually happened here where they don't want to charge him and why they don't want to charge him, and what your organization would like to do in the face of this. What appears to be, and in your news release, they're calling it celebrity privilege, black celebrity privilege. Of course, we hear all about white privilege, but what's going on here with this matter, Emery?
Yeah, without getting into a whole lot of detail on actually the forerunner to everything that happened prior to yesterday, a little bit about the case was that I guess he claims that he was attacked after leaving some business establishment, and he was attacked on the street by some people, and I guess it was supposedly a racial attack. And come to find out, it wasn't. After the police investigation and things began to unravel, and they found out that they thought that he might have been filing a fake report. So they continued to investigate and found out that that probably was the case. They investigated several of the people that were involved in it and so forth, and they ended up with charging Mr. Smollett with 16 charges. So the Chicago Police Department spent a lot of time, man hours, and investigations on this. And of course, the people on Jesse Smollett's side and also him continued to deny everything. And eventually, I guess the prosecutor did file those charges, and then he put up a bond, and he was acquitted on yesterday of those charges. And it's completely shocked and surprised everyone, and especially when you start digging into some of the details, which are still not completely known because this case has been sealed. So I guess no one will be able to find out exactly what happened here in totality. What we do find out, though, is that his bond that he put up was, I guess, going to be kept by the city of Chicago in lieu of his serving any jail time. And he also was given the opportunity to work for Operation Push, which is Jesse Jackson's operation up there in Chicago. And he performed some tasks for them, and then everything's going to be wiped clean after that. So the problem that we have with this at Project 21, and also after hearing some of the comments from the Black community and from around the country and looking at social media and so forth, is that Mr. Smollett seems to have gained a lot of privilege simply because of who he is and what he is and what he's doing on the Hollywood scene. Of course, a lot of the people in the Black community are complaining because they're saying that it's unfair because that's not the way they're treated when they go through the criminal justice system, that for any little infraction, whether it be a misdemeanor or a felony, they have to go through the complete process, be tried and so forth, unless the evidence is simply not there. And especially if they have to go through a grand jury process and they are found to be indicted, they continually have to go through the process, hire an attorney, go into a court of law. Well, this is not going to happen with Jesse Smollett. And a lot of complaints that I'm hearing, too, is just on, I think last week, BET, one of the Black networks, ran a special on the injustices of what's going on in the Black community as far as with the criminal justice system. And then here we have a person simply because of who they are, a movie star appearing on a well-known show, I guess, within the Black community, the show that he's on, and is going to be dropped and nothing's going to happen to him. So that shows a little favoritism as far as being a celebrity. And then at the same time, they see other people from the community, people that they know, people that they deal with, that are being not only prosecuted, but incarcerated and paying humongous fines and so forth. So this is the main problem that the Black community is having with this, and also Project 21. And then the second thing that we see that's wrong is that he's up for an award with the NAACP, an Image Award. And we had already spoken out on this in the past and said that the award should be rescinded because of what he's done here as far as the lying and as far as the false charges and the 16 felony counts of not being able to prove that he was telling the truth and that he was arrested for that and charged with that, he's going to get away with that. So what kind of an image does that send to the Black community, to the young people, and also to those who are already incarcerated? And some of them may have really been incarcerated unfairly and didn't get a fair trial, where here he's not going to get anything. He just spends the 16 hours of community service with Jesse Jackson, and then his bond is, of course, rescinded. So this is really a troubling situation here.
It really is. And you would think that these entities in Chicago would have been able to have the presence of mind and the foresight to see that with all of the media coverage and all of the evidence and all of the interviews, that this fella paid these people to enhance his career. And now, because of who he is or who he knows, maybe he knows Barack Obama, maybe he knows, as you said, Jesse Jackson, Rahm Emanuel, perhaps. It's pretty obvious to the average person, regardless of whether the guy's Black or white or green or yellow or red, it doesn't matter. It seems like there are two tiers, at least two tiers, of justice. Have you ever seen anything as blatant as this before?
Yeah, this is very blatant, and you're absolutely correct. The tier system seems to be in broad and open display here, and we've had several people speak out against it. We have right now a rift between, I guess, the prosecutor's office up there in Chicago and also the police department. The police chief is very upset about this and spending all these hours and hours and hours investigating this alleged crime and coming down with these 16 counts against him, and then all of a sudden have it thrown back in their lap and saying that we're not going to go through with this. Can you imagine what those officers felt like that went out and pounded the streets to find witnesses and gather evidence and then present that to the chief? And then, of course, the department turning all of that over to the prosecutor. There's also rumors and some outside interference. I mean, I haven't been able to find a lot of information on that, but you're right again, because of ties or because of who you know and who you're associated with, you can find yourself on the positive side of prosecution where things just automatically get dropped and then there's no explanation for it. And people don't like this because they know that they don't have that type of a privilege and that can't be how they'll skate through the system. So it's problematic. It's going to be interesting to see just how this whole thing plays out into the future, especially during the award ceremony, which I think takes place on the 27th, if this will even be mentioned and brought up, whether it be NAACP during their award ceremony or how the media will handle that too. But I don't think we've heard the last of this as far as people filing complaints and so forth, asking for justice to be done. And then again, there was another story that I've read that said that he may be facing some other charges, but that remains to be seen.
Absolutely. And I was going to ask you about that. And it does, of course, present a moral hazard that this fellow could do this. And there's millions and millions of people who are witnessing this double tier, at least double. There's probably more than two tiers. This travesty, this apparent travesty of justice that, hey, if he could do it, you know, why should I pay attention to the law, right? I mean, that is the moral hazard. And that could actually lead to more people breaking the law because they feel that the law is not fair. It doesn't represent everybody the same way. And I've never seen anything as striking as this in recent history. I mean, we can go back to a couple of examples of people who have gotten away with literally murder because of privilege. Ted Kennedy and Chappaquiddick. There are many examples in past history, but in recent, relatively recent history, in our modern era of instant communications and the internet, I can't think of anything that is as brazen and open. And how these people with the Chicago Police Department can stand in front of the cameras and say that, you know, they did the right thing, I don't get it. I'm sorry, Emery, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's really a very unfortunate thing, and it's a mind-perplexing thing. And what makes it even more serious is that the nature of what happened here. We have a so-called hate crime coupled with racial improprieties here. And then you throw on top of all of that a fake report. And then you find out that other people were perhaps paid to do this, and they've known each other all along. So we have a very perplexing problem here. And then you have, on the other hand, people that are watching this, that are some of the people that are in prison, some of the people that are in the jails out there in Cook County, Chicago, and so forth. They have to be scratching their heads and wondering, how can he do this and get away with this? And then I have to serve time for such small crimes, and then especially for the nature of these crimes. And see, one of the things that perplexes a lot of people also is that you have a department that has a problem with shootings, one of the largest numbers of shootings in the nation, year after year after year, and the police department has to go out and waste hours and hours and hours of manpower on investigating a crime that was alleged by one person who was supposedly attacked by two people, spending all those hours, spending all that time throughout the justice system, going through the prosecutor's office, and then all of a sudden he gets off the hook. But yet all of these shootings and murders within the city are still going on, but you have a limited number of resources able to investigate those crimes because they wasted all of that time on the Jesse Smollett case.
Absolutely. It touches a lot of areas, and it's disheartening for your organization to see that, for people like me to see it, for people who share a love for this country and a love for the fact that it's a land of laws that should be meted out objectively. Ultimately, that's the goal. Obviously, it doesn't happen all the time, but we have to hold up the ideals of this country. Otherwise, what do we have? We really have nothing. We're a third world banana republic that doesn't deserve to be called the longest lasting representative democracy in the history of civilization. Project 21, this is actually from the article here about Smollett. Leading voice of Black conservatives for over 25 years, you're sponsored by the National Center for Public Policy Research. And of course, the National Center for Public Policy Research was founded in 1982, and it's a nonpartisan, free market, independent conservative think tank. And 94% of its support comes from some 60,000 individuals, and less than 4% from foundations, and less than 2% from corporations. That's pretty cool. This work that you guys are doing, because I've been following you for several years, is great. You really have great material that you put out there from the website. Can you tell the listeners about the connection between Project 21 and the National Center for Public Policy Research and what they can do if they want to help out these organizations?
We're from all over the country, the different members that are involved. It starts from those that are out in Washington, D.C. We're in different states from Missouri, Indiana, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, all over the country, even out in California. We all get together on these different issues, put our thoughts together, and especially those issues that greatly affect the Black community. We try to come up with solutions to what we can do to make all of our communities work better together, give our Blacks ideas how they can get a hands up and become better citizens and become more involved in the United States system here and make this country grow as a whole between all of us. And if they want to contribute, they can do that through the national organization. And they can also find Project 21 on Facebook and on Twitter, doing a lot of tweets, read their press releases and so forth. And we do have a lot of interaction and we get lots of feedback on the tweets and also on the Facebook pages and so forth. And then also whenever I go out around the country to do speeches or to work with other groups, I find myself answering questions all the time about Project 21. And people are really excited about what we do and they want to know more about Project 21 and how they can become involved.
Thank you. And of course, the contributions to the organization are tax deductible, right?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so I guess with tax time coming up, they have a couple more weeks to make a donation.
Oh, yeah, an advantage of that. And it's a very good organization because we find ourselves, like I said, in the middle of a lot of issues that really wouldn't give a lot of attention if it didn't have a group and a think tank behind those issues that we're pushing to help make things better. And I've done interviews on Black radio stations, Black publications, written articles, and debated. I've made speeches here locally and around the country at different organizations and spoke about some of these issues that we talk about. And there's a lot of interest and a lot more people are getting in touch with and in tune with Project 21 who didn't know about Project 21 and what we do. So it's a growing organization. We're really involved. We try to work with people in Washington, D.C., in our state houses, and our local governments, and just put everything together so we can all be one cohesive United States of America and work together so that we can still become and maintain our status as a great nation and a nation that provides life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all Americans, not just a particular group.
Emory, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining this to listeners, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Looking forward to talking to you also.